song was written by Mark Lowry of the Gaither Vocal Band. You know, the comedian, the young guy that's always joking around? He wrote that song. And it's become a classic. I guess you could say it's a classic now, just at this time of year especially. It's just a beautiful song. And I thank you, Steve, for singing that. I really appreciate that so much. I wanted to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Now, because of our stage backgrounds, listen, give John Blasdell a big hand right now. Just give him a big hand. He has been working so hard getting all this, he's been up here, and I don't know, John, looks good. There's some things he's working on, so this play will function like it's written, and a few little surprises he's got, so I'm not going to tell you what they are. You got to come see them for yourself, but looks really nice. And so one of the things he and I talked about is the fact that with this being up, needs to be up so the choir could rehearse, so forth, it blocks our screen that we're used to having for our PowerPoints and our announcements and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? We lived without a screen for a long time, didn't we? Before we came along. And so I think in the next few weeks we can make it by, don't you think? So John, it's fine. John, yes, he's waving at me. Oh, now let me get all this Christmas decorated. The tree, the poinsettia, Kathy Blasdell. So she's our church decorator. This is so pretty. And those are real, by the way. Those poinsettias are real. And they're gorgeous. And thank you so much, Kathy, for doing that. It looks really nice. And just looks nice in church. Now, when you get here Christmas Eve, it's going to look nice again for that, too. So you make sure and come for that. We thank you so much. So I said all that. I wanted you to know how hard they've worked. And somebody asked me yesterday, whose white pickup truck is always at the church? That's John Blasdell's truck. He's up here. He's up here a lot working and getting all that done. But we won't be putting a PowerPoint. So if you want to take notes, you got to do it the old-fashioned way. You got to listen, all right? And you got to pay attention. And you need to write it down yourself. I wanted to begin my Christmas series last Sunday. Of course, the Lord had other plans, and I got laid up being sick, so I was not able to be here. So this morning, I want to begin. It's not going to be a four-part series now. It's going to be a three-part series for these next three Sundays as we go toward Christmas. And I want to begin a series of messages as we look at the Christmas story in a fresh and new way. You know, after being your pastor now 16 years, I think at this time of year, what else do I say at Christmas? What else is there new to say? And I got to realize, and I don't have to say anything new. The old story is still good enough. Amen? It's still there and so forth. But I think sometimes we get so used to it and we get so accustomed to it that we don't enjoy the appreciation. So I'll try to find ways to help us as we study the Word of God together, as we look at it. And so I want you to find Luke chapter 2 this morning. I hope you've been turning to that. Stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And over these next few weeks and tonight and then Christmas Eve, we'll be reading all these different portions of the Christmas story. So it'll all come together. We'll get through it all. But I want us to begin in verse 8 this morning. You pray that my voice can hold up these next few minutes. And we'll read down through verse 11. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. In these next few moments we have, I first pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to all of our hearts. Give us a fresh appreciation. Give us a wonderful joy of knowing the story of Christmas from the Word of God. Let us never take it for granted. Let us never think that, well, we've heard it before. It really doesn't mean that much. Lord, may it mean more today than it ever has. Pray if there's one here that does not know you as Savior, that today would be the wonderful day that they would accept the greatest Christmas gift of all, And that is the salvation of their souls and forgiveness of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever we need to do to be right with you today, be with our church family, Lord. Many away from us at this time of year and this week due to sickness, illness, work, traveling. Lord, be with all of them. And Lord, bring us all back together real soon. And we just pray in these few moments, Lord, you'll have your way and will in our lives in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. With all of that has taken place this year, and there's been so much going on in our nation, in our country, in our culture, and all. And I began to pray, Lord, what is it, how is it that you want me to preach the Christmas story this year? I always try to find some way to help present it that will be a blessing and encouragement and help you just kind of remember those things. And so the Lord laid this on my heart. It has nothing to do with anything else but just what I'm going to say. But the next 3 weeks, instead of four, it's going to be three. So these next 3 Sundays, my Christmas series of messages is entitled, Making Christmas Great Again. Has nothing to do with political. But, you know, we've heard something close to that phrase all year long and throughout our country. And I began to think about, and I said, Lord, what is it about Christmas? And the Lord just began to impress upon my heart how great Christmas is. But yet so many times we miss the greatness of what Christmas means and what it's all about. We get busy. We get tired. We get sick, you know. One of the worst episodes of the flu I ever had was when I was in college one year and came home for Christmas, and I didn't think I was going to go back to school because I was so sick. I just thought I wouldn't live to finish college because I had the worst case of the flu. And I remember that and being laid up there in North Carolina and just thinking I'll never get to see Tennessee Temple again. And I just but you know, I got through it all, and so, you know, and that I don't remember much about that Christmas at all because I was so sick. But, you know, we get so tied up. Sometimes it's physical illness. Sometimes it's family situations. Sometimes we're traveling. Sometimes just working. And we just lose the joy. I heard somebody the other day, they were talking about, oh, it's so many days till Christmas. And one guy popped up and he said, ah, it's just another day. What difference does it make? And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I need you for my sermon. Because I'm going to show you that it's not just another day. And I want us over these next 3 weeks to examine the Word of God. And I want us to take and remember about what it takes to make Christmas great again. Now, let me tell you, the purpose of these messages is not for you to make Christmas great again, but I want you to understand Christmas is already great. I want you to realize how great Christmas is again. I want you to have the joy of Christmas. You remember the days of when you would have a hard time sleeping Christmas Eve. Oh, you didn't want to go to sleep, but you knew you had to. You couldn't wait to get up the next morning and run through the house and run down the hall. Or whatever it is, however you did it in your home and your traditions and all. And you remember that excitement and that joy. Oh, I pray we'll get that again. Not because of what's something that's under the tree, but because of someone who died on a tree. I want us to understand how great Christmas is. And it's not because of the dollar and because of the sales and because of all the things that go along with it. Franklin Graham posted on his Facebook page this week, and I said, oh, somebody's stealing my sermon idea. An atheist organization in America has put up billboards in some select cities across America this Christmas season. And the atheist organization put up billboards, and it said this, and I quote, "Make Christmas great again, skip church." And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's stupid. I mean, you know, it really is. And I thought to myself, why would they? And so Franklin Graham posted that, and he said, yeah, let me tell you why Christmas is great. And I'm like, Franklin, you're stealing my sermon. Don't do that. Let me get through the first week, and then you can publish that. No, I want you to understand that there are those who don't see the greatness of Christmas. To them, it's a day of be off work. To them, it's a day of spending time and spending money. But I wonder this. Those atheists who don't believe in Jesus or God and who say that in order to make Christmas great, everybody should just skip church and not go to church anymore and all that kind of, I got a question for those guys. Do they take Christmas time off from their jobs when they're offered it by their employer? Do they go Friday, Black Friday shopping after Thanksgiving? Do they go and do and buy and gift? Do they do any of those things? If you really don't believe in it, then work Christmas Day. If you don't believe in it, then don't take the time off and don't accept the bonus from your employer or any other thing. But wait a minute. Christmas is great. It is the greatest day of all history. The day that God became man. The day that God began to initiate and carry into practice His plan of salvation for our souls. I want you to notice the first reason, and that's the message this morning. The number one reason that we're going to see in this passage of what makes Christmas so great. I began to examine this, and I found that the word great is used in our English translation in our Bible. The word great is used 1,101 times in the Word of God. The word great. Okay? 1,101 times great, greatest, greater, some form of the word great is used in Scripture. And would you believe that some of those words are used in the Christmas story? Some of those times of using the word great is part of our Christmas story. And we saw one of them this morning as we read there in verse 10. Notice our text this morning is in verse 10. The message of the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The number one reason that Christmas is great is because Christmas is all about great joy. Great joy. Now, understand these country boy shepherds just doing their jobs. They're out in a long night watching sheep. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of excitement unless a bear showed up or a wild animal or something, maybe a thunderstorm, and they had to get them all back together. But usually the nights were pretty boring. But this night would be different. This night would change history. Why was it that God chose an angel to go to a group of country boy shepherds to tell them about the birth of the Messiah? Why didn't that angel go down to the local gathering of the ministerial association? Why didn't he go to the seminaries? Why didn't he go to the local synagogues? Why didn't he go to the religious crowds and tell them with an angelic message that the Messiah has been born? Maybe it's because, number one, they should have been looking for it anyway. Secondly, when they found out through other ways that he had been born, they showed no interest. But I believe the number one reason that God chose to tell shepherds, a group of just country boys doing their jobs, is because God wanted man to know that this great joy was not just for the religious elite. It was not just for those with higher education or those in the upper class of society. But this message of great joy was for, number one, this message of great joy is for all people. Notice this. He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And at the end of verse 10, he said, "This tiding of great joy is to be to all people." It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. It doesn't matter your skin color, your social economic status in life. It does not matter what you've done or where you've been. The message of Christmas that makes it great, and that great joy this morning, is number one, it's available to all people. Oh, I'm glad to know Jesus came for all people. He didn't come just for a certain group. He didn't come for those who were searching or those who were chosen or those who had some special other pedigree. But the message of great joy is for all people. You know, we must understand this today, that even though that all people is who the joy is for, not all people know the joy. Have you been through the mall in the last week or two? Man, you can't even get parked without somebody honking and slamming brakes and, you know, making gestures of one thing or another. I'm thinking, man, it's Christmas. What's the deal here? Just because you had to wait through the traffic one more light? Don't honk your horn. Just wave and say Merry Christmas, you know. Oh, my goodness. And it's just, but this great joy that's to all people, not all people know the joy. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to see the look in their eyes. Even though their hands are full with bags and packages, there's a look about them that there's a lack of joy. But I believe that if we can help people understand that Christmas is great because of great joy, and that number one, that great joy is available to all people. Number two, not only is that great joy available to all people, that great joy is because of a little baby named Jesus. Now, if you're looking to have a great Christmas this year based upon what is under your tree at your house, I want to tell you something. You might be happy for a little while, but that will fade over a period of time. There's not a single person in this room, I don't believe, that still has every single Christmas gift you ever got since the day you were born. Now, some of us wish we still had some of those classic toys from back in the day, doesn't it? Man, have you seen eBay? My goodness. Some of these people are selling these things for thousands of dollars, and we played out in the dirt with this stuff, you know? Man, who would have known? But if you had told an 8-year-old boy, don't play with that. If you wait till you're 20, you could sell it on eBay for $1,000. That 8-year-old boy would look at you and says, what's eBay? And he wouldn't care about $1,000. He just wants to play with his toy. To me, I probably got more than $1,000 worth of enjoyment playing in the dirt than I would have selling it to somebody on the other side of the country for $1,000. But not one of us has every single Christmas present we ever had since the day we were born. Some of you might have a lot of them, but you probably don't have everything. And I'm realizing this as I get older, I don't remember all of it either. Can you name everything you got 3 years ago? Quit now, right now. Name everything you got 3 years ago. Did you remember everything you got 7 years ago? No, you don't remember. You know why? Memories fade. Toys break. Electronics quit working or get outdated. I remember some of those presents that were like real special through the years. I can remember some of those things. I don't have them all. Neither do you. So our joy is not based upon gifts under a tree. Our joy is only based upon the one who would hang on a tree later on. And that is the baby named Jesus. The angels go on to tell them how they can find this Jesus, how they will recognize who he is. That's where we get the phrase with the wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. We have that vision in that. We see the nativity scenes, and we see this time of year on Christmas cards and the pictures. Understand, the most important part of that nativity scene is not the shepherds or the star or the angels. It's not even Mary and Joseph. But the most important part of that is the smallest part in that scene, and that is that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. It is God's Christmas gift to you. Amen. And that little baby is the source of your great joy. You can't have joy apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have a good time for a while. You can have a good season for a while. You will not have a life of great joy until you come face to face and make a personal decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You'll never have joy. You'll look for it in every way. You'll find things that claim to give you joy. They will eventually fade away. In fact, some of those things will cause you more problems than you had to start with. But the source of your great joy is found in swaddling clothes. I heard the Gaither Vocal Band sing a song one time that Mary was the first one to carry the gospel. When you think of her carrying the gospel, when you think of her for 9 months bearing the Son of God within her womb, as a virgin conceived and virgin-born Jesus came into this world, the Son of God, and it brought great joy to all of the world. But it wasn't just the shepherds that were experiencing the joy. For the last point, I want you to flip over back a few pages to Matthew's gospel. Matthew gives us his account of the Christmas story. of some other visitors who would come later on. In chapter 2 of Matthew chapter 2, we'll see other parts of this story as we go through the Christmas time. But in verse 10, approximately 2 years later, the wise men would show up in Jerusalem looking for Jesus. Herod would be upset, be disturbed, would go and research from the priests and scribes, and they would tell him that the prophet said in verse 6 that he'd be born in Bethlehem. Herod tells the wise man, you go find him, bring me word so I can worship. He didn't want to worship, he wanted to kill him. Wise men did not know that then. But it says that when they got ready to leave Jerusalem in verse 9, they found the star. It led them to where the young child was. Notice he's not a babe in a manger now. He's a young child in verse 9. And notice in chapter 2, verse 10, it says that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding, what? Great joy. Christmas is all about great joy. Not just the night that he was born, but even 2 years later nearly, as these Gentile stargazers would follow for thousands of miles to come to bring gifts and to worship. They were so excited that just seeing the star brought them great joy. Again, great joy is for all people. Number one. So number two, the source of that joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, that great joy continues forever. It wasn't just to shepherds. It wasn't just to those that first night. But the great joy continues forever. You say, preacher, how can you have great joy all the time? When you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you should have great joy all the time. And I know, we get frustrated when McDonald's takes away the McRib after a while. And you know, I was pulled up, I was behind a car. All I wanted was a sweet tea at McDonald's because it's a dollar. And there was no Chick-fil-A in sight. And so I pulled up to a McDonald's to get a sweet tea. There's this man having an argument through the intercom. It's through the intercom at the drive-thru. Why do you not have McRib? He's leaning out the car. He's shaking his fist. He's shaking his fist at the intercom. Where's the McRib? And I'm sitting there, fella, just get a tea and move on. It'll be okay. You know, we allow things in this life to steal us of our joy. That's the problem. You allow people. You allow relationships. You allow stuff. You allow other things in your life to take away your joy. But remember, the joy is for all people. The source of the joy is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, that joy is ongoing forever. The reason you're not happy this morning is because you choose not to be happy. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've been forgiven of your sins, if you know that you've got a home in heaven waiting for you forever, then what difference does everything else make? I know life is tough, it's hard, we get sick, we get burdened, we get down, we get discouraged, it's difficult, there are things that take place, but when we start looking at those things, instead of looking at the Savior, that's where we lose our joy. But we don't have to lose our joy. Christmas is all about joy. Christmas is great because of a great joy. Don't lose your joy. Don't let circumstances rob you of your joy. And certainly don't let people rob you of your joy. If there are people that rob you of your joy, just stay away. Just avoid. And if you have to just unfollow them on social media, then unfollow them. Don't read their posts if it doesn't give you joy. Not real hard. The great joy is ongoing forever. I believe with all my heart, when we get to heaven, it's just going to be one joyful worship service forever. It's going to be a joyful time of reunion with our loved ones and friends who've gone on before. It's going to be a joyful time of seeing our Savior face to face. And oh, it's going to be a joyful time of worship. You're not going to worry about whether the preacher has enough voice to last through the service. You're not going to worry about what's going to happen after the service, because there is no after service. It's just ongoing forever. Christmas is greater because of a great joy. So let's spread the message to make Christmas great again. I actually stopped by a store, and I have to confess. We were in a store the other day of a sporting goods, sports store, that you can have things made on a jersey or a shirt or knit hat, a beanie or whatever. I thought about getting me a red hat, baseball hat, and have them stitch on there, making Christmas great again. The guy was so busy, he was lined up, he had people and they were buying Christmas gifts, and I didn't really have the time to wait for him. I'm going to go back by there and ask him if he'll do. He did tell me that he can't do the slogan that our president-elect used for his campaign, because now that's copyrighted and you can't use that. So he's not allowed to put that. They were given a memo from the company. You can't put that on anything. It's copyright now. But I thought about just getting a red hat with green letters and just making Christmas great again. I'll just wear that with my little pen, Jesus is the reason for the season, and I'll just let people kind of, I'll just have fun with that. Christmas is already great. We don't have to make it great. But you can allow it to be great in your life again if you first remember that it's about great joy. When I was a kid, and I'll close with this, I was in children's choir, Jeannie. There was a little chorus that we learned in children's choir, and it was about joy. And do you remember the one that said, Jeannie, that said, I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? There was a little kid in our choir. He couldn't sing worth a lick. And he couldn't do it. So he didn't sing anything. He just waited till the where, you know, part of that song. So none of us would do that part. We'd all sing, we got the joy down in my heart. We all go look at him. He'd go, where? Yeah. Love it. Oh, man, I don't know what he's doing today. He's probably a school teacher, I'm sure. He's probably a wonderful school teacher, just loving kids, just being one of those, right? He's in your class, Hannah, I think. So, but when you think about joy, that's the way joy ought to make us. It ought to make us happy. We ought to be happy. My pastor taught me this. You've heard this. It's not new. Definition of joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. That's J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and then yourself. Make Christmas great again. Have great joy. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the physical ability this morning to be here and after 16 years with these precious people, sweetest people on this side of heaven that you've allowed me to pastor. Lord, I know there are many times situations and circumstances and life seems to take away our joy. Lord, let us remember that Christmas is great because there's great joy. And Christmas brings great joy. It's for all people. Even though they all don't know about it, it's for all people. And the source of that joy is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that joy goes on forever and forever and forever. It's great, Lord. We thank you for the greatness of the cross. We thank you for the greatness of the manger. We thank you for the greatness of salvation. We thank you for the great joy. Pray if there's anything we need to do this morning to be right with you. If there's some decision we need to make, maybe we have never accepted your personal gift of salvation. Pray that today will be the day we do that. Our deacons will be here at the front. We show them right from the Word of God how they can know the joy of Christmas and make Christmas great in their life. Father, whatever we do this day, we give you honor and praise and glory for it all. We thank you for your great faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.